Hey, what's going on, guys? It's St. Bree checking in, and I'm on the Dope Science Show with Science Stuff with Steph. Tune in, we talk about some dope stuff. All right, peace.
Hello, welcome to the Dope Science Show with Stephanie Lowe, a.k.a. Science Stuff with Steph. Thank you for your ears and minds. I hope that the show sparks new ideas, new opportunities, and conversations. I want us to learn and grow. We are all curious, innovative, and experimental in our daily lives. We are all dope scientists. Hello, hello, you guys. Thank you so much for listening to the show. I am sitting on my patio right now, on vacation for the first time in a very long time. And I'm watching the sun come up and there's birds chirping in the background. Life is good. And I want everyone to try to hold on to something in your daily life that actually gives you a sense of happiness or comfort, and just appreciate that moment, because life is constantly changing, so you really have to appreciate when things are good, even if it's only for a second. I really work on living that way because I get anxious, I get depressed, I live sometimes through fear, and it's a constant battle. Today's guest is Made, and we talk about his life as an immigrant and how he why he pursued science as a career and then made the big jump to say, all right, no more. I'm not an engineer anymore. Now I'm an artist. And how can I still be an artist and still embrace and share my love for science? And he's been doing very well with merging those two worlds because it's STEAM, which is I believe it's science, technology, education. No, science, technology, engineering, arts, and mathematics. So he's doing it all, and that's something I want to encourage with every show. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. Even if you can't sing like me, you go ahead and sing, all right? What else did we talk about? Blurdom. We love being blurreds and nerds. And we talk about that. And being a risk taker. Man, I'm trying to be a risk taker. I know I'm going to make some changes. I have been making changes. And I'm rambling. So I really hope you guys enjoy this show. Talk to you soon.
Let me breathe, let me cry, explode. I've seen things, I know things you don't. My hood, on my block. It's a strange world, a cold world. So let me be me. Let me find my own voice. Let me wild out, never bow down. Let me pull up in a Rolls Royce. Let me say things that ain't PC. Let niggas see world change. Let me go alone, let me go alone. I got on my side, I got money on my mind, plus 1,000 pounds of pressure. Why won't it just coincide with the way things move around me? I can see it through my eye. If I make it out of this cold world, maybe time won't just fly. Maybe I could ride off in a jet, take a little weight off my steps. Hey, they more weight on my shoulders. Everybody wants a piece of my flesh. Only thing guaranteed here is death. Look in the mirror, think of what's next. Until my soul escaped my chest, I'm still perplexed. So let me dream. Let me grow, let me shine, let me get mine, let me take time to learn more than you teach, cause I know that the world's big, it's so big. Let me breathe, let me cry, let me explode, let me try. I've seen things, I know things you don't. My hood,
Hello, hello. Welcome to the Dope Science Show. You guys, I'm so excited. I have a new nerd friend. And his name is, I found Greg, who was on the show like a couple of weeks ago talking about Get Out. he brought to my attention he had a nerd friend named Mayday, and I'm excited because he has super dope science videos, kind of like what I do, but I think maybe better. And I'm really excited that he's on the show. So just talk to a fellow nerd. Welcome to the show, Mayday.
What up?
Hey.
Mm-hmm. And it's actually just made, just M-A-Y-D-E, just made, straight up.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you for correcting me. See, this is why I can't introduce people.
You did just fine. That was a great introduction. I love being introduced as a nerd. That's great. I love it. Makes my day.
Can you tell the audience who are you? What's your name? What's your little? How would you describe yourself?
All right. Made is actually my stage name because I am. I'm a hip hop artist. I'm also an actor. Background in civil engineering. So a little bit of jack of all trades. My full name is Maynard Okereke. I am from Seattle, Washington. I don't know if you got any cool followers from Seattle, Northwest area. By way of Seattle, Washington, by a bunch of other locations. I was born in Texas, spent some time overseas. I'm half Nigerian, half Cameroonian. So my dad's side is from Nigeria, my mom's side is from Cameroon. I was raised in Cameroon for about 6 years. When I was younger, came back to Texas and then ended up in Portland area and then to Seattle for school. So I've kind of made my way around the world a little bit. I am currently now in Los Angeles, California, and I've been out here for about 4 years now. Came out here to pursue some music opportunities as well as acting opportunities, entertainment in general, because that's kind of my wheelhouse. I love entertainment, love entertaining. I was working as an engineer when I was in Seattle. I worked as an engineer professionally for about 5 years before I made the complete 180 leap and headed the entertainment route out here in Los Angeles. And it's been cool since I've been out here. I've been able to find some good opportunities to integrate a little bit of my background in engineering and sciences to a lot of the entertainment stuff that I'm doing now, which has been awesome. So it feels good to be in a space where I could kind of use my full creativity to kind of express myself a little bit more, which has been great.
That's awesome. That was so wonderful, man. You got that out so eloquently. I have to say that because I was on another show and I was like, I'm going to have to work on this. It's a little harder than I thought.
I always tell people that like giving a spiel like that is always easier once you're really self-assured as far as what you're trying to do and what you're pursuing and what you're about, you know, because it wasn't always easy, you know, before I used to have a hard time telling people like what I did or what I was about or what I enjoyed because I was always all over the place and I hadn't really found my passion per se, you know, and so I was kind of scattered a little bit. And so it was always kind of difficult giving a straightforward open answer as far as what my direction was and everything. But now that I feel like I have at least a good foundation and I know kind of where I'm going and what I'm pursuing and what opportunities I want to chase, you know, it's definitely easier to be open more about what it is that I do.
Definitely, definitely. I feel like you're absolutely right. It's like once you figure out a little bit more, it's easier to be more clear when you're describing yourself and what your goals are and what your focus is. And you're not like, I'm kind of like, and I think,
yep, exactly.
I'm still figuring it out, so it comes across. So I'm like, I've got to cut this down so I sound certain, even if I say little. I'm like, how?
And that's the job.
Go ahead.
That's half the job. Is you know you got to at least portray a level of confidence, you know, to at least sell some people, you know.
Exactly.
even if you're internally scattered, you got to at least make it seem like you got yourself together.
Right, exactly. I'm like, how can I say this in 140 characters? I'm like, I got this. It can be done. So I wanted to go back a little bit to what you're talking about when you were talking about that your family's from Africa and you grew up in Texas. Do you feel, I always like to get that perspective because I've grown up in the States my whole life. So it's always interesting to hear about what is your experience outside of the States. Do you see, what would you see was the biggest difference between your life in Africa versus living in Texas? I know that was a broad question, maybe just like the main thing that you could think of. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I would say kind of in general, because I mean, I was still pretty young when I came back to the States. You know, I was like seven when I came back to the States. So I was still pretty young. So most of my growing up was here in the States. But I do know, like for sure, one thing that definitely was different that kind of shaped my mentality. You know, growing up in a third world country and being raised in a third world country. There's a level of appreciation and understanding about your background and where you come from and what's available to you and what's not available to you. So that when you come back here to the States, you definitely have a great understanding and a good foundation about yourself and life in general. And I think that's definitely helped me as far as, you know, my pursuits in education, because that was something that was always, you know, stressed upon for my parents. You know, it's like, you got to go to school, you got to do this, you got to do this, because they came out here with nothing, you know, and, you know, they're immigrants here to the country, and they had to make their way and find a way to get a level of success, you know. And so since I was here in the country, they wanted to make sure that I used all the full, everything that was available to me here in the States that you can get overseas. You know, education is huge. Opportunities to make money and be successful and set yourself up for your future. You know, all that was definitely instilled into me at a young age, you know, and so that, I think that's kind of helped my hunger, you know, over the years for sure.
Do you think, so did your parents support you when you said, I want to be an artist? Like, I don't want to be a civil engineer anymore.
So, it was actually pretty interesting because, you know, people always ask me about that actually, because especially with African parents, you know, the notion is, you know, growing up in an African household is, you know, everybody, you're expected to be a doctor, a lawyer, you know, like dentist, you know, you're supposed to be an engineer, do a job, some great money, and that's kind of like the norm, you know,
right.
And so that was the route that I went towards, you know, saying when I went to school and I pursued engineering, I was like, okay, what's the toughest degree that I could put myself in that I still enjoy doing? And a lot of it was to, you know, make my parents happy, because that was the goal, you know, that was, you know, to put myself in a position where my parents could look at and be proud and be like, okay, we brought a child here to the States, and now I could brag about him to all my other Nigerian and Cameroon friends. And, you know, I got a doctor, I got a lawyer, whatever, you know. But I think what was special about my parents is they understood me and understood my passions and what I wanted to pursue. And all throughout middle school and high school and college, you know, I did great in school, and I was always level-headed and always kind of had my goals and everything set in mind. And I did what I wanted to do, and I went out there and I did get a degree in engineering, and I worked as an engineer. And I told them straight up, you know, this is my time now. Like, I've gone down this road, and there are things that I want to pursue that actually make me happy, that I'm passionate about, that don't have to deal with necessarily a profession like that. And, you know, they were completely open with me pursuing what I wanted to pursue, because I'd already gone that route. I'd already shown that I could be successful in doing whatever it is that I put my mind to. So they were fully supportive when I told them that I wanted to leave everything and come down to LA. And they just, you know, they just wanted me to be happy, ultimately.
Oh, that's sweet. Because they saw he's got his head together. So if he goes after this, you know, he's going to be successful or be level-headed enough to, you know, he's going to be just fine. you know?
Exactly.
That's awesome.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And what brought you to...
If all else fails, I could always, you know, I always have an engineering background at the worst.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I could always...
Exactly.
You know, like, I could, by default, I'm never going to lose that. So, you know, it would be different if I left, if I finished high school or something, and then I was like, oh, I want to come down to L.A. and become an actor and do all these lofty dreams, but then I didn't have any foundation of anything to come back to. That might have been a little bit different, but they already understood that I'd already done everything that I needed to do to set myself up for success. And I was able to go out there and take a risk and do what I wanted to do.
That's awesome. I my daughter, she wants to be an actress, and she's in theater, and she does things. And I'm like, you can do anything you want. You just got to go and get, like, a law degree or something first. Or like, you just have to go get something, science or some profession before. I was like, you can go to school and act, but this has to happen. And so she's, like, already knows.
Yeah, right.
I was like, you need to be able to afford to go on auditions. You need to have money.
You got to plan. You got to plan for that stuff, you know. And you know, a lot of times people will go and pursue those things that they're passionate about, which is great. But you also have to, along the way, you have to have goals, and you have to understand exactly how to navigate that process. So whether it's talking to other people that have gone that route, or doing your research and figuring out exactly what I got to do to be able to survive while also, so I want to do. You know, you gotta do it smart, you know?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, just not doing it smart just lowers the level of anxiety. So you're better able to focus on your craft and, like, have your head in the game, you know? And it's hard enough being young, like, so.
Yeah.
Having, you know, some sort of security helps.
With
that, have you always known, like, hip-hop, like, what the acting and performing was, like, your passion?
I feel like I have, for sure. I think the only hesitation with me early on was not knowing if I could actually legitimately, if that was something that I could actually legitimately pursue. Like, I'd always kind of been a natural entertainer, you know? Like, I was always that loudmouth in class that was, you know, making noise and trying to be the center of attention all the time. And, you know, throughout middle school and high school, I was always performing and doing music and doing shows and different things like that. So, like, I'd always loved that attention, and I'd always loved putting myself out there and doing things. But I think it took me a while to get to the point where I understood, like, hey, there's opportunities that I could actually make a career out of doing these things I like doing. Before, they always kind of seemed like hobbies and different things that were cool to do. But it took a while for me to kind of get in that mind state of like, hey, I could actually make an honest living doing this work as well too. You know, it wasn't just a hobby. It wasn't just something that I did that was fun. It was something that I could actually take to that next level and make something legitimate out of.
What was that turning point that made you realize that? Like, what was that? You know, you have that moment of clarity where you're like, you know what? This is going to work. You know, you're like, this is actually going to, like, work if I focus.
Yeah, well, I think for me, it was definitely, I was a little late bloomer on that end. For me, it was definitely after college, after I'd started working professionally for a couple years. My job and everything was great. I was making great money. I was making great living and everything. But it came to a point where I just found myself not happy about where I was, and you know, and I'd always, even throughout college and while I was pursuing my other endeavors and everything, I was still doing music, I was still doing random science stuff or just other acting opportunities. I was still doing them, but it was more so on the side, and so I felt like I was living these multiple lives because I put on these like three different faces, you know, and different things that I was doing, and I felt this inner separation where I was like torn, you know, between what I wanted to be and what I was and what I was doing on a day-to-day basis.
And I came to realize that the job that I was doing on a day-to-day basis was great, but it wasn't satisfying me. It wasn't taking me to that next level, you know? And I wanted to do something that I woke up every day and I was passionate about. And I wanted to wake up every day and do something that I actually loved doing and didn't feel like I was just doing it just because I was supposed to do it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it got to that point where like I just wasn't happy with my day-to-day life. And it was a struggle waking up, going to work every day and trying to find the energy and trying to have to slap myself and, you know, and drag myself to my car to go to my job. And I was like, this isn't life.
Like,
you know, life is
depression.
Yeah, exactly. I was getting super depressed and I was like, this isn't life. Like life is about taking it by the horns and going after what you love doing and having new experiences. And finding out new things about yourself and about the world and traveling and all these other things. And I realized I wasn't doing that, you know, and I didn't want to live a life with regrets. You know, I wanted to at least be like, hey, whatever opportunity that was out there that I thought about doing, I made an honest effort at pursuing. And if I failed, I failed. But at least I can always look back and say, hey, I made the risk. I put myself out there and you know, saying and something happened. But if I didn't, and I just kind of stuck with where I was, because I started seeing so many of my friends and everybody that had been finished school and everything, and they're doing their jobs, and everybody was so miserable, and I was like talking to everybody and like, oh, I'm just going to work, you know, just like work every day. It is what I do. And it came to a point where it was like, I was like, this isn't cool. Like this shouldn't be what life is about. You know, you just wake up and you feel like you're a robot going through the motions. You know, I wanted to be creative and I wanted to do something new every day and I wanted to make it my own, whatever it was that I was doing, and not feel like I was working for somebody. So, so I think for me that was the main turning point into realizing, hey, I could actually turn these creative tasks that I like doing, that I do on a regular basis, and actually pursue them and make it a full-time deal.
That's so beautiful. That's how I feel. I feel like I'm still going through that struggle, but I had a similar turning point where I just felt, for me, it was just like an urge that I could not like control, where I had to create something and I had to feel, it made me feel alive, and learning something new and being creative like really started to feed something inside of me that I had like kind of like buried. And it's just good to hear you talk about that, because it's like once you have that feeling and you start pursuing that passion, it's like you start enjoying life, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's the goal. Like you want to enjoy life, you know, like nothing is guaranteed in this life, you know, and we've all had people that have been in situations where you lose family members or tragic stuff happens. You know, and you realize life is short and you can't take your days for granted. And, you know, the older you get, the faster time just starts flying. And, you know, I don't want to look back and feel like I just let my best years go, you know?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. I think of that too. Because I'm like, damn, I'm young. You got to do things while you're young.
Yeah, right?
People do things.
Exactly.
And do it till you die. Do it.
Exactly.
You know? Just like yourself.
And it doesn't matter how dumb it sounds, you know, as long as it sounds interesting and cool to you, like, do it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there's so many things I've talked about doing that people have been like, why would you do that? That sounds whack. But they're not living my life. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
I want to go live, you know, like, you see, especially when you watch these documentaries, you see people that love to go and live in the jungle for years with their, you know, with their wife and their son and explore things, you know, and they may not be making hella money, but, you know, they actually have a fruitful life, you know, they're doing something that they feel is beneficial, whether it's, you know, for themselves or for the environment or whatever, you know what I'm saying? And they're passionate about doing it. And somebody else might look at that and be like, oh, that's a horrible life. Like you sit and live in the jungle and you deal with all this BS all day,
right?
You know, but like to them, that's the most enjoyable thing possible, you know? And so
exactly.
You got to make it yours and own it.
Got to be in touch with yourself. You know, you really have to pay attention, and then you'll figure out what it is. Like, what is it you're missing, or what is that thing that's gonna, like, you know, grab you? For me, being creative and in science, and I chose science because I fell in love with science. And when I fell in love with science, I was just like, I have to know more about this. And I just became obsessive about it and sharing it with people because every time I shared with someone, I would get, like, you know, a rush of endorphins, like, yes, I shared that. Mm-hmm. You liked it. And I want to do it again. You know, and learning something new, you know, it's very rewarding and it keeps me from being bored. And
exactly.
So that's how I got into science. I know chemistry. Baby, I know chemistry. Sometimes compounds bond. Sometimes they lose energy. Sometimes they lose energy. But our nucleus is strong. Yeah. So we'll cry. We'll fight. We'll mate. Multiply. We'll evolve. We'll die. But that's bio 101. Baby, study with me. You'll be okay with a B. You got a little homework. And I got the pop quiz. I know it's not okay to cheat. We've been working all week, I said. Baby, you got, yeah. Baby, you got, baby, you got what I want. You got exactly what I need. I know biology. Baby, you got, yeah. Baby, you got what I want. You got exactly what I need. I know biology. Yeah, yeah. I know biology. I know, yeah. Hey, baby, you got exactly what I want. You got exactly what I need, and I know.
What brought you back to science? What made you connect your creativity with science? Was it because, I'll let you fill it in, because I don't want to talk to you.
Well, I don't know. It was like, it wasn't even necessarily that, like, anything brought me back. I don't feel like I ever left it, you know, because, like, if you talk to, like, any of my friends that I talk to on a regular basis, you know, like, I'm a nerd, but at the same time, like, you know, I always tell people there's, you know, you got this, like, kind of black nerd movement or whatever going on.
Yeah, blurred.
And it's like, yeah, right, blurred all day. But it's like, but like before, you know, there used to be like a, you know, it used to be kind of a stereotype, like, oh, if you're a nerd, that means, like, you're not hip to other stuff, or, like, you're not cool, or you don't know about other things that are going on. But I consider myself pretty hip, you know what I'm saying? I consider myself pretty in touch with what's going on with day to day, you know what I'm saying? I'm a big fashion nut, you know what I'm saying? I love fashion. I love, you know what I'm saying? I love music, obviously. And I love different other elements of you know, sociological things that are just going on, you know? So I'm pretty in touch with things, but at the same time too, like, I'm cool with being a nerd, you know what I'm saying? If I'm having conversations and I bring up random facts, or, you know what I'm saying, or I just start spewing off random logic or math or whatever, you know, that's just me being me, you know what I'm saying? I'm incorporating other elements because that's just me. That's authentically who I am, you know? And I don't have to hide that. I don't have to feel, like, weird about it, you know? And so, like, anybody that knows me knows, like, oh, that's Maynard, you know what I'm saying? And whenever I make analogies about stuff, I'll make crazy scientific analogies to things, you know what I'm saying? Like, it may go over some people's heads. Some people be like, well, why would you think of that? You know, so, like, you're such a nerd, you know, but, like, that's just how my mind functions. That's how I process things, you know? And so I don't feel like that ever, like, science itself ever left me. I think as the older I got, I just found more ways to science to my day-to-day life and actually find ways to promote it and actually own it a little bit more, you know?
Yeah, I know, and it's so awesome.
It's great.
Yeah,
when you're able to own
great.
It and make it, it's a good feeling. Good feeling.
And weren't you, were you surprised by people's response to your science videos? Did you expect people to like them?
I really didn't know. So, like, it was kind of funny. So, like, I have, just for, I guess, everybody that's listening, since we're going on in this topic, I have a show called Hip Hop Science. And I basically play this Hip Hop MD. It's a sketch comedy show, basically, where I take hip hop songs and I break them down scientifically. And you know, I'm a big fan of, like, you know, different sketch comedy and stuff that, you know, you see, you go on Instagram, you see everybody's got, like, sketches and different things like that, or YouTube sketches and videos that people make, you know, and I've always been interested in that route. That for me, like, I always like doing something that's different, that's not typically explored. And so I wanted to do something that still was in that comedy vein, where I could be able to shoot stuff and be able to produce sketches and videos, but make it completely different. Do something that people aren't doing, people that that people aren't used to or don't normally see. And for me, like, especially with music, my background in music, I've always, the music that I've made, I've always considered my music mood music. And like, I write stuff that everybody, that anybody could relate to. And at the same time, it's not just dumbed down music. You're listening to it, and it's stuff that has good lyrical content, and that you could make, that you could have a deeper affinity with. You know what I'm saying? It's not just popcorn music that you know what I'm saying, or, you know, whatever music that's just kind of BS that you might, you know, you might typically hear. I wanted, always wanted to make stuff that was different and unique, and that you could have a deeper attachment to. And so I wanted to, I've always wanted to do the same thing too with videos and comedy and different things that I do. I wanted to make something that people could connect to and that people can relate to and also learn from, you know? And so Hip Hop Science actually came into fruition. I remember I was in my boy's place, waiting for him to get ready. And I was listening to some, like, Rick Ross song on the radio. And I can't remember the song exactly, but so they had some line talking about how he lived next to Oprah, and, you know, and you always listen to hip hop songs, and rappers always making, like, crazy outlandish claims about money and women or whatever it is that they have, you know what I'm saying? And sometimes you sit and listen, and you're like, damn, do they really have that? You know what I'm saying? And so I was in that mindset where I was like, damn, does Rick Ross live next to Oprah, you know? And my crazy science mind kind of starts breaking down stuff like, how would this be feasible? You know what I'm saying? I was like, okay, how much money does Oprah make? Where does Oprah live? You know, what's Rick Ross's net worth? You know, would he be able to financially afford a house somewhere where Oprah would be living? You know what I'm saying? So I started going
you're
down.
Like, let's investigate this.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm a super investigator. Like, don't get me around Google or YouTube too long, because I'll get myself into a crazy wormhole of just random knowledge. Like, I'll just keep searching and searching, and then one thing will lead to another, you know what I'm saying? Before I know it, it's been hours, and it's like 4 a.m, and I'm still browsing on Google or on YouTube, looking at random videos or whatever. But so, like, I like investigating stuff and figuring out, okay, does that actually make sense, and diving a little bit deeper into it. And so I dug deeper into it, and then I was like, this is a unique concept to actually take songs that you wouldn't normally listen to in an intellectual sense, you know, stuff that you listen to on the radio, whatever, that you normally dance to, and a lot of times you don't realize what they're saying. And so I wanted to highlight lyrics in songs as far as what artists are saying. Take it like, oh, does this actually make sense? Is this actually feasible?
Exactly.
Is this something that could actually be done? And I thought that, and to me, my nerd sense, I was like, that's hilarious to me. You know what I'm saying? If I could take something so stupid and actually like dig deeper into it, I feel like if you're listening to people that normally listen to music anyway, they would listen to music, but at the same time, they'd have an opportunity to actually learn something from the songs that they're listening to, rather than just listening to some dumb stuff and not getting empowered by it. You know, at least listen to it and get empowered by the humor in what I'm bringing out of the song, you know? And so that's kind of,
you'll make them think for a second.
And I figured there'd be a market for that, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm like, I can't be the only one that likes to investigate or learn about random stuff, you know? And so I figured, hey, why wouldn't somebody want to learn about, you know, a random science song or a random song and see what the science is behind it and break it down, you know? And I was a huge Bill Nye the Science Guy fan, like, growing up and everything like that, you know? And, you know, everybody loves Bill Nye. Like, you can't come across anybody that was like, oh, Bill Nye was dumb. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody to a certain level likes the sciences, you know, as long as it's explained to them in a way that you can interpret and make sense, you know? If it's over your head, you're probably not going to, you know, like, connect with it. But if you make it relatable, whether it's, like, through science experiments or through, like, comedic stuff like Bill Nye was doing, you know, then you actually have an appreciation for those sciences, and you could actually learn something, you know?
Yeah, I wish I liked Bill Nye the Science Guy when I was a kid. It was
You
just like
didn't like Bill Nye?
something was wrong. Something must have been wrong with me.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, I loved him. I'm like, I love the concept. I got the concept when I was a kid. I just wasn't touched. I just was not like, his corniness was too much for me because I thought I was too cool for school. So my mind was not in the right place. You know, I appreciate him more now. I'm like, oh, he was a genius. I was the one who was just like, I thought it was kind of nerdy, and I didn't want to be nerdy. So anything that seemed nerdy, I was like, I don't like that. You know, at least I was really a nerd. I just didn't want anyone to
Yeah. Right. But see that
But
comes with owning. That comes with owning it and learning about yourself, right? As the older you get, you know
right,
what I'm saying? Like
yep.
you become, like, hey, this is me and I'm cool with this being me, you know? Like I didn't care. Back then I didn't really care what people thought, like I liked what I liked.
Yeah.
And if it was nerdy and stupid, then it was nerdy and stupid. That's just what it was.
That's awesome. That's free, man. That's awesome. I wanted to make sure we talked about anything you wanted to talk about because I might forget. Like, do you have any projects you'd like to promote or anything else that you'd want to make sure you want to share with the audience?
Ooh, good question. Kind of all over the place. Well, I know some people will probably be looking into the Hip Hop Science Show, and as far as that goes, right now, I have a Hip Hop Science page on Facebook, which I update still pretty regularly because I usually just post like random science topics or different things that are going on in the science world or random fun facts or different memes and stuff like that or random ratchet videos that have to deal with some sort of science element.
Yeah.
And then for a while on my Instagram page my hip hop videos. They're really short form videos, mostly made for YouTube and then a lot of it for Instagram that I was putting out on my pages regularly. I haven't put any out for the past couple for the past month and a half, 2 months because my science show got picked up. I'm under a development deal right now with Lionsgate, and so we're dealing with some stuff going through as far as rights and kind of waiting for a production to come together. And so the show is temporarily on a hiatus until the whole deal kind of gets figured out. But the goal is for that to get pushed onto Kevin Hart's new digital platform called LOL. And well, hopefully, God willing, if everything comes together as it's intended to, we'll have a full show on that digital platform with a production budget and everything. So I'm going to be bringing some more deeper intellectual, better quality videos that will hopefully start develop a big buzz and get some more stuff out, get more content out there for viewers. So.
Hell
Right
yeah.
now that's looking like maybe about a month or so away. And so once that gets going, then we'll be back on track. We'll be back on track with the science videos on that end. So
That's gonna
that's
be so
huge. That's a
awesome.
big that's a big that's a big thing that I got
Yeah,
coming
before
up.
you go to the next thing, wait. We need a moment of focus so that we can send you positive energy so you can get everything you need just the way you want it from everyone who listens. Like,
Nice.
okay,
I
now we can go.
appreciate that. Woo.
Yeah,
All right. I felt that. I felt that. I felt that in my core.
you felt that through the
I
phone, like,
absorbed that energy.
boom. Yeah, seriously. Awesome.
Absorbed that.
And
So
now you
yeah,
can go
so
on.
got
I'm sorry.
that. So I got that coming up. As far as other endeavors outside of that, I'm always kind of doing production stuff. But I got a Got have a couple singles that are out right now on the music side, and looking to probably put out an EP project here in the next month or two. And so that should be coming out, and I have a music video that I'm going to be going into production with that'll hopefully be out in about a month. And so that should be big as well too, hopefully. So yeah, so those are my two big things right now that I'm working on, and then as far as my acting entertainment side, I'm always auditioning and looking for the next big role, so that's kind of a consistent thing until I actually land a project. But in the meantime,
Yeah.
yeah, I'm just kind of focusing on the creative side and focusing on the creative arts, and then doing a lot more writing and trying to get these hip hop science and this music project going.
Sounds like you're busy in all the things that matter. Something's gonna hit, you know? Something's gonna go.
Right.
And right now, blurbs are hot. Science is hot. Everyone wants to change the narrative, including myself. So I say, push and do you know? People are gonna be attracted to, what you bring to the, to the new scope of science communication. So awesome. I'm excited for
Thank you. I appreciate that.
you. Yeah, and before you leave, I wanted to, I found a few science articles, but I feel like, we'll see
Yeah,
how
let's
many I
talk
can
some
get through
science.
them.
Let's talk some blurb
Yeah.
stuff.
Okay, so I'm not sure how many we can do, but I'll give you the titles and then we'll like talk about them. Okay, so the first one is called This Timid Little Fish Escapes Predators by Injecting Them with Opioid-Laced Venom. So that's one. And then another option is Spray on Memory can enable bendable digital storage. And the last one is magnetic brain stimulation causes weight loss by making gut bacteria healthier. Like so.
Wow. Those are three different science criterias over there, but all pretty interesting. I'm always a wildlife guy, so I'm always I always go toward lean towards animal science. So let's go with the fish topic.
Okay, cool. Yeah, let me, so you can, are you in front of your computer too? I'm gonna
I
text
can
you.
be, yeah.
And I was like, I can like send you the link if you want to see the picture that I'm looking at.
Okay.
Okay,
I could just search it if you let me know what
oh yeah, okay.
it
Go
is.
to sciencedaily.com.
Okay.
And then type in Fang Blennies. So Fang and then Blennies, Blennies. And then you should come up Blennies.
Okay, Fang Blennies, let's see here.
And then it should come up 4 days ago. Yeah, it's the first one listed. This timid little fish. She has a cool picture. Cool. So basically, what they're talking about is normally when you have venomous fish, they have big bang fangs that when they when they bite you, they like cause severe pain. That's normally the case. But for some reason, this particular fish, they have the canine teeth, but when they bite you, it causes you to feel super relaxed and disoriented as if you were high on heroin. And it makes animals like not chase them. And they think it could be because it causes a sudden drop in blood pressure. And so you kind of, you just fall apart. You're like, I can't think clearly. I'm just gonna lay down. And they thought that was super interesting because they didn't know that this existed. And so, and they were saying that they found it by chance. They didn't come in with like any idea. They were just in the lab playing around with fish, and they stung. They had the fish bite a mouse in the lab, and instead of the fish on the mouse being like in pain, which they expected, it was just like whatever and just lay down like it was like relaxed. And they thought it was really interesting because I guess predatory fish don't eat venomous fish. And so the whole ecosystem of fish, a lot of times they will mimic these venomous fish. So the most weak fish, which happens to be poisonous, is actually affecting the whole ecosystem. So because they have the advantage of causing pain or death to, you know, something that attacks it, the other fish evolved to look like them and act like it, you know, as well.
Yeah.
And and so they thought that was just, you know, something that was worth thinking about, considering how they were saying that the venomous systems are super, like, sophisticated in how they actually function as far as how they evolved. And even though, and it's, I guess, kind of amazing that something that looks so harmless and is so tiny is actually the most powerful, you know, player in the ecosystem, really, because they affect everyone.
Well, you know, mimicry with the fish, because, like, you know, that's a big trend in the animal world. You know, there are many species that use different forms of mimicry, you know, like, you know, for defensive purposes, mostly. There's different types of mimicry, you know, like snakes do it. There's many snakes that have certain, you know, patterns or whatever on their scales that mimic other venomous snakes, but they aren't actually venomous themselves. And then they have some of, like, the defensive mimicries where animals will use certain colors to let predators know that they're poisonous. And sometimes they do that because they actually are poisonous, and then sometimes they they take on those colors to trick or fool predators into thinking that they're poisonous, you know, like, that's pretty typical, like, butterflies and different insects as well, too. This fish that you brought up is pretty interesting in a lot of ways, because fish are actually, like, really, really different when you really think about different elements. And fish have developed a lot of different characteristics and traits that a lot of other animal species necessarily haven't really picked up on, you know. For example, like, you know, there are a lot of fishes that could change their sex, you know. A lot of them are asexual, and they could change their sex based on what's actually available to them and their surroundings and different things like that. So they could convert. What's funny, I actually had one hip hop science video where I did a comparison about the fish, because there's those song talking about cross transgender. And I told him how, and the comedic bit was basically that Bruce Jenner isn't the only species to be transgender, you know.
Right.
And so I compared other animal species, such as some fish that live in the tropics, that are transgender as well and can change their sex depending on their ecosystems and different things like that. So that was kind of like the funny bit in that. But yeah, you're right. Like, you know, normally venom for most species is used to, you know, it's used for defense or used to, or if you're a predator, to use to kill your prey. But when it's usually used for defense, it's debilitating in a way that it would actually kill the other species. But yeah, this is pretty unique in the fact that it actually gives them a state of euphoria rather than death. You know?
And I don't know if it's actually euphoria, but it at least gives them the same after effects of using heroin, which is not necessarily the good feeling. It's like the side effects of nausea and disoriented. So it's not, they didn't say hi, but I guarantee you someone's going to try to get high with the blinny fish. But they said it's really hard to get the venom out. Like, it's so tiny. It was like a really, like, tedious, like, thing. So it's not something that doesn't sound like they're hinting towards any sort of commercialization of new drugs from their venom or anything like that.
Right. Hey, you never know. They actually that could be exactly what they're doing, you know. You know,
I always got a question when studies like this come out,
you know, because this seems like a pretty new, because I'm seeing a lot of articles written about it that have just recently come out. So it looks like this is a pretty new find in the animal world. And, you know, whenever they find things like this, there's the initial is to, how can we reproduce this, or how is this used, or what is this equivalent to?
Right.
And so the first thing is going to go is they're going to start doing all this testing and finding drugs that are comparable to it and drugs that have similar chemical buildup to what this venom is, and finding out other uses. Maybe there are other uses for these drugs that we're aware of that we didn't know about. Or maybe there's chemical components that we could actually integrate to make certain drugs safer or, or more dangerous, So there's
Or maybe
definitely
they can
whenever
just
it's beyond.
like replicate the venom, like they're gonna go through everything that they could think of, possibly. Because why wouldn't you? I mean,
Yeah,
that's the
exactly.
way the world works.
Right? Because a lot of times that's how we find cures for a lot of stuff too, is by looking at these different chemicals that certain animals produce and figuring out why we don't produce them and how they can be used in our bodies, And so there are a lot of drugs that have been made because of how they're used in different animal species. And so yeah, so the side like it, it you have to you have to take you have to take that all that science into account and see what opportunity there is to make, because the goal is to try to improve human life in by any way possible, right? And the way easiest way to do that is to look at other and biological species that are out there and see how we can be comparable to them, Like sounds like the start of a sounds like the start of a Marvel movie. Like some mutant movie that's kind of how they always start, right? Like, oh, some science experiment where they mix the venom of a fish with the leaping ability of some frog or whatever, and they create some super species.
Exactly. Yeah. One more thing about the study, and then we'll sound super smart when we talk about it. Is what they said, another surprise from the study was the evidence suggested that fang blending fangs evolved before the venom. So they had the teeth before the venom, and usually it's the other way around. Usually venomous snakes and fish, they have the teeth before they evolved to create like their venom. So that was one more interesting thing. They don't know what any of this all really means, but it's interesting to them. So that's one thing. So
Yeah,
the
those
thing,
yeah.
go ahead.
Yeah. That's pretty because like a lot of times that could just be evolutionary for different means, you think it all you could always look back at the evolution of a species like this. They could have there's some fish may have started out being predatory fish, and over a long evolutionary period they may have lost their predatory ways because of, food sources or whatever was available to them and transitioned into a non-predatory fish, but still maintained some of the biological traits of their predatory ancestors, So that could, that could be a reason for still having fangs beforehand, before the venom, So yeah, there's a lot of very why that could be the case, as far as access to food or accessing food. I think there's one fish, I remember reading some story about one fish that had like teeth that looked like human teeth, and
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
like giant molars. You've probably seen some pictures of it before. And they talked about how they developed those teeth evolutionarily over time because of the food sources that they eat. They eat a lot. They ate a lot of bottom dwelling like plant life. And in order to access those plants, they needed molar type teeth in order to be able to chew them and shred them. So they didn't need any actual canine or sharp teeth. They just needed teeth that were basically made from mulching. And that's kind of the human teeth have evolved to that way where we have molars, unlike a lot of other animals, because we eat, we're technically omnivores, so we eat a lot of plants and different things like that. So our teeth have evolved to be able to grind down food rather than just biting and tearing and shearing, And so that's
Yeah.
definitely like an evolutionary trait that, happens over time for sure too.
Isn't that so interesting? And that's how you can go down like the Google like wormhole and just like you're all, oh, and what about that? And what about that? That's what I do on Science Daily and other like science journals. I'll be like, oh, and what is about that?
Exactly. That's awesome.
Sweet.
That's pretty cool.
Well, I really enjoyed this conversation. It was super, super, super fun and insightful and exciting and positive. And I appreciate your time. And
likewise. I definitely appreciate you reaching out to me. This has been awesome.
Yes. Thank you. And before you leave, I always, always have my guests pick the soundtrack for the show. So you have to give me three songs right now off the top of your head that you want to be the soundtrack for your show.
Ooh, that I want to be the soundtrack for my show? Could it be my own? Could it be my own songs? Can I use my own songs as soundtrack? I got plenty of songs. You just need three? Okay. Very fitting. I have a track called Bio 101. That could be a good fit for the soundtrack for the show. I have another song that I just released called Do It. That's my new single. It's a pretty high energy song, you know, that could be definitely a turn up anthem for sure. And then I'll probably say another good song that would be fitting for this. Probably my Study Abroad single that I released last year called Study Abroad. It's a pretty deep introspective track. That'd be pretty fitting as well too.
Awesome. I'm excited. Awesome. Thank you. I appreciate it. I can't wait to edit it all in and put it all together. And you also, you may not know, but you are also the intro for the next show. So the way it goes is you will introduce yourself, you will say you're on the Dope Science Show, and then you can ad-lib, or you can just say your name and you're on the Dope Science Show, whatever comes out.
Okay, so there's just going to be a little intro. There's going to be like a little intro.
And you can take as many takes as you need.
All right. So you just need me to give you a sound bite? Is that all you need?
Yes. So it goes for example, I would say, I'm Science Steph with Steph, and I'm on the Dope Science Show, and I love this show, or whatever you want to say.
Okay. All right. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. What's up, fellow nerds and blurs out there? This is Made. And you're listening to the Dope Science Show, where you're going to get the most introspective dope science news possible that will take you, your insight and your knowledge to the next level.
Awesome. That sounds really good. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
All day. No problem. No problem. Cool. Thank you. Yeah, this has been awesome. Can't wait to check it out and look forward to hearing some more stuff from you as well. And we're definitely going to have to find a way to collaborate on some cool science projects together.
Yes, for sure. It's a promise.
Yes, definitely. So cool.
Okay.
Hope you feel inspired. Take a risk. And with focus, positive expectations. I know you guys can do whatever you want to do. Whatever you want to do. We can do it. Yes, we can. We can do it. Yes, we can. Peace. Talk to you soon. Back up in the coop so fly. Niggas know that I'm that guy. Tell them, yeah. I used to be in the rafters high. Now I'm in the floor court side. Kobe. Hey. They all know my name in the streets. They all put my name on the lease. Now I got the keys. Walk around this town like a beast. Somebody better call the police. Right now. Hey. Do it for the city. Do it for the glow, nigga. Do it for the paper. Do it for the hoes, nigga. Do it for the limelight. Do it for the cash, right? Do it like you never did before. My vibe, please don't kill my vibe. Oh no, looking at this Cali sky. I ain't never been this high. No way. My mama said dreams come true, so I'ma go do what it do. I roll with a few, we all run through. Cool's you're making it loose. Y'all wanna be like me, same way to see my TV. Born on E, everybody cut it for your key. You better learn to box like Creed. Learn it to a T, and then you learn to read. Ain't nothing guaranteed, you better get a degree. Get it in the States, or get it all overseas.
is. I do it for family that ain't got nothing to eat. Yeah, this for the real go-getters, the real trendsetters, the real niggas is about that life. The real big dream is the real big time. It's the real boss you never deny. The real star studded, the real full button. The real niggas Versace fly. For every bride that ever spent loot, the sad couldn't get in they draw tonight. Do it for the city, do it for the club, nigga.